Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
We're gonna talk about a heavy subject. Oh, I forgot to tell my brains. Brains, welcome to On the Edge. This is the place, I tell you all the time, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, right there, oops, wrong finger, and the responses are never dull. We are going to talk about suicide, but prevention. And I want to hear some success stories. I'm so brokenhearted about hearing people go through what they go through. And Janine is dedicating her life to this cause, to help people prevent suicide attempts. And I want to teach you something before we even get started, brains. One of my other guests taught me, it is not committed suicide, because they're not committing.
It is
death by suicide.
Yes.
And yes. So that reframes it. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to help someone in that place. I found, number one, I'm afraid. When somebody tells me that they're, you know, considering taking their life, girl, I get nervous. I don't know what to say. I don't know to jump in front of the bullet. I don't know. You don't want to get them off the phone. How much do you want to, or can you afford to invest in that situation? Because there's a mental health challenge. Maybe there's an outside influence. Maybe somebody's there to get them. Maybe it's a young person, you know, and they're dying younger and younger. You're seeing all these celebrities that feel that there's no way out, and they have endless resources to therapists and drugs and all that. So Janine, you're going to help us talk through that a little bit. So, can you introduce yourself to my brains and tell them how you show up in the world, precious?
My name is Janine Rivers, and I am an author, suicide prevention consultant, and I am a speaker. And I show up in this world trying to advocate, and I'm in that war against suicide. And I just want everyone to live their best life. So anything that I can do to educate people, to talk to people, to love on people, to let them know how important they are, then I'm there by their side every step of the way.
How did you find yourself in this space?
I found myself in this space because I am a suicide attempt survivor.
Wow.
When I was 21 years old, I always call it my 15 minutes of fame. And the reason why I say 15 minutes of fame, because my doctor told me if we had found you 15 minutes later, you would not be here. So I was famous to someone that they thought enough of me, my higher power, that I'm still here with you today.
Wow. Wow. And you were 21 years old?
Yes.
So that's very young. That's very young. How'd you find yourself in such a dark place at such a young age?
I was in that dark place, number one, because I had lived in a very controlled environment my whole life. Very controlled. I call it the box life. I was in this box, and everyone in this box, we all thought the same. We all dressed the same. We all had the same beliefs, all the parties, everything we did together. So I didn't know that there was a whole new world out there. And you know, when you get of age, you know, when you're growing up, you want to start doing things, and you pretty much know inside of you, you have that inkling that something is not right. And so when I broke out of that box, think about something. In that box was everyone I knew, all my best friends, everyone I knew. And when I got out of that box, all those people that were in that box, they deserted me. So I had no one. I was in a new whole new world, and I was alone, and I didn't see any hope. I thought I was doomed.
Okay, well, wait. I missed something in there. Did you go away to college? Did you No, I don't know what happened. Did you just find a whole new friend? You moved to another state? How did you just associate from all those people? How did they just disappear?
Because I chose not to leave as they did, then I was of no good, you know, because I didn't believe the way they did. I didn't want to do things the way that they wanted me to do them. Mm. I basically got kicked out. You know, like, it reminds me of the Fred Flintstone. Remember when he took that cat and he put it out on the step? You go get out of here. That was me. That was me. Culture shock.
Okay. Yeah. So were you a little square? Were you a little naive, or were you quick and slick?
Very naive. Mm. Very, very, very naive.
Because of the controlling upbringing that you had.
Yep.
So they didn't allow you to spread your wings too much.
There were no wings. They were clamped down. They were pinned down with bobby pins.
Wow. Was it your parents, did you have siblings?
You know, it's interesting. I have siblings. I have two sisters, one 10 years older than me, 8 years older than me. They left home long before we began our new life. Me, my dad, and my mom, you know, so they were gone and they didn't have to deal with all that. Mm. They just looked at April, they would peek inside the box, go, and they run the other way.
Oh, Lord. Okay, now let me add another layer on this, because I'm curious. I want to know. Was this a religious doctrine? Was this, sometimes it's alcohol, drug?
It was a religious doctrine.
Okay, yeah, I know. See, and you know, Brains, I say this with love. Go on, get mad if you won't, you know. Religion can be, it is a form of mind control. It's a form of mind discipline.
Yes.
Okay. And it is also left up to interpretation. Pick up the book, read it for yourself, have your own personal relationship with your God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because people crack me up. Oh, the pastor gonna come pray for me. The pastor better pray for himself. Okay. No, and I don't mean that in a snarky.
No, I'm laughing at you because you're speaking truth. Because
you can't do none of that.
And you can also pray for yourself. You can also pray for yourself.
And
you
got the same
phone line.
And I can see how easily that could have happened, because that's another form of manipulation. Yeah. I'm gonna control this. You know, she ain't gonna be no little hot split tail around here, running around with these boys and drinking and cussing and swearing and doing all of this kind of stuff. So what we'll do is we'll clamp her down. You know, we will tell her, you know, when to get up, give her marching orders. But what that did to you is it isolated you and it caused you pain. Yeah. So as you evolved, did your parents, the attempt at suicide, what happened when they found out you were in that space?
Ooh, I remember getting a visit and being told, well, you know, we're not going to buy you no flowers because you should know better.
They had no idea.
Yeah, life went back. It just went back to normal, to what I knew was normal, what I knew was normal. And I kind of dismissed it because it was not something we were to ever talk about. So I dismissed it. Literally, I, you know, dismissed the whole, everything that happened, everything that led up to it, until probably 4 years ago.
Wow.
4 years ago, I had an opportunity to be in a collaborative book. And they said, write something that is life-changing. And right away, I thought about, my suicide attempt. But I didn't realize what I was getting myself into, because when I start writing about it, it was as if I was there. I could smell the room. I could tell you what it looked like. I could tell you every thought. And it was life changing.
And so many young people are just really just saying, look, I'm just checking out. I'm just checking out.
Yes.
Lana, would you phrase your situation or frame your situation more as a controlling, or was there a touch of mental illness there?
Ooh, that's a heavy question. I'm going to answer the way I think. I don't believe that a suicide attempt always has to do with mental illness.
Okay.
Sometimes it has to do with life altering situations in a person's life. And I've worked with lots of psychiatrists in the past, giving them more awareness about suicide, because many people won't talk about it. And we have argued that. They said it. I'm like, no, it does not. What about the person who lost their job and they become homeless and they see no hope? Or what about someone that finds out they're terminally ill? You know, what about someone that's not accepted for who they are? Maybe they might be a part of the LGBTQ. So I don't believe that it has to do with that. I mean, not for everyone. In my case,
sometimes you was partying too hard at the club. You really didn't realize what you was doing, and you just
right.
It was on and popping, and you literally was on and popping. So yeah, things can happen.
That's real.
But even having that conversation about life and death.
Yes.
And I tell people all the time that it is a transition and death is a promise. Okay.
Ooh, that is powerful. Yes.
But it's also too in a certain, I don't know what your religious, doctrine was, but I know in mine, the good book, they say, oh, you're going to go to hell if you commit suicide against God. And so now you don't have a place on earth, nor do you have a place in an eternity. So
that is, yes.
So you wonder, like, what in the world is this? Let me just flip a coin. And it's really sad. Like the beauty queen that just passed away, that young girl that jumped from the building.
Oh.
I mean, to look at her from the outside, she had everything. She had beauty, she had talent, she had charm, she had class. And I know that there was many male suitors that could have just sopped her up with a biscuit.
Yes.
But internally, there was self-doubt. There was, she needed to be validated. She needed to be substantiated.
Yeah.
How do you get into that kind of person's head? There's nothing that I could say outwardly. I mean, she's got the world at her feet. She's a beauty queen, for Christ's sake. You know, she's been on the stage. She's pomp and circumstance.
Huh.
What do you say to her?
You have to validate her. You have to let her know how amazing she is. For me, okay, you're a beauty queen, so you're extra beautiful. But I need to tell you what I see other than the physical. You know, I need to tell you how beautiful, how wonderful you are inside, all your goodness. Sometimes people just want to hear that.
You know, and I keep it 100. Sometimes it's draining.
It is.
I say this from, it's like, okay, now the world has just crowned you queen of everything. Mm-hmm. And now you still want me to come and tell you how beautiful you are, rub your feet and do this and do that, so you have to step back and look at the person and figure out what they want. It's like I work with an ego coach. Okay.
Oh.
Amazing. I'll turn you on to her afterwards. It's amazing.
Okay.
But what she has taught me is how to deal with that thing called an ego, how to nurture it, how to position it, how to love it, how to feed it, how to give it what it needs so that it doesn't erupt. Your ego is a part of your intentions and your direction. So it's a lot of self-help. It's a lot of looking at it, but also when you look at it, how do you put that piece in this other puzzle called the world?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're having all of this negative neuro-linguistic programming, all this negative chatter running around in your head, it's hard to figure out. So I would like to talk to the person right now that's struggling. Look in the mirror. Just sit there, you know, 5-10 minutes, and really look at that person and write down all the wonderful things that you see. Even your flaws, the freckles on your face. You know, you might have a booger in your nose. Whatever the situation. But write down those things, and next to that thing, substantiate it as how it's valuable. Is this valuable to my kids? Is this valuable to my man? Is this valuable to my job? How can I help someone else? Equate that challenge or what you see and put that next to something that you can do. Make it a doable. Don't make it your adversary. You know, make it your ally.
Yeah.
It's hard because no one can look inside of your head, brains. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in there if you don't tell me. If you don't tell me, I'm reliant on you to tell me. So when you find people that are in these vulnerable situations and you go out, you go to work with them, where do you begin?
First, you know, I talk to them. You know, sometimes you have to give people emotional CPR.
Right.
You have to connect with them. You have to have passion to care about what they are, and you have to help them resolve within themselves about issues. So talking and listening, asking questions are the most important things that you can do when you're speaking to someone. And sometimes, to be honest, asking questions are not always the best because they're going to tell you what they want you to know.
Right.
Asking the question could make them like, feel like, you know, like you're prying, and they'll step back off of you. But talking to them could be silence, just sitting with them. Because some, you know, silence says a lot. Sometimes it speaks to you. So, I mean, for me, I've been in so many situations. I have been in situations with people over the phone that have told me that they were going to try and kill themselves. I've been on the phone with people, having some people on the other line. I've sat with people. I've been through it all.
And you know what? I have to ask these questions. What is the resolve? What do people in these vulnerable situations, what do they feel? Okay, so I'll ask you, because you attempted suicide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you think that was going to accomplish?
It's going to end the pain. When a person is thinking that they want to end their life, they just really want the pain to stop. They really don't want to go anywhere. They want to be validated. I wanted that pain to stop. I didn't want to feel hurt. I didn't want to cry. And you know what? It's because I didn't understand why I was feeling that way. And a lot of times a person is not able to connect with themselves and understand who they are. So they just like, forget this. I don't have to deal with this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel it.
And then what happens is if you are unsuccessful, which I hope a lot of people are, then you've got more judgment.
Yes.
Because you got people over there whispering and snickering. Girl, let me tell you, did you know that she blah, 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 blah. And girl, you better watch her. You know, I don't know, I want to be her friend because, you know, tell her she take us all out. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all of that. So how do you get over that? So you join a support group of other like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
Like AA, like a knitting group or some other kind of support group of other people that understand what you're going through, that are in that headspace.
Yeah.
Also, a way of expressing yourself is through art and music. You see a lot, I see the music notes behind you. I see a lot of people that, like children, for example, they go through a traumatic experience. What do? You give them crayons and a piece of paper, and they will tell the story right there.
Mm-hmm.
So use that pain to create pleasure, create an abstract piece of art, create some music like Theonious Monk, girl, because I never knew what Monk was trying to do, girl. I couldn't figure it out. But a creative outlet. Take that pain and turn it into your passion. Write a book like Janine did. So was this an anthology or was this your own book?
It was an anthology. I'm working on my own book, but I've done three anthologies, three of them.
Well, where are they? Let me see one. Let me see one. Rivers, you are a part of several anthologies.
Yes.
Let me see them and tell me a little bit about your story. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to hold it up. Okay.
I have two of them.
The 21st century. What is that? Bold, brave, and brilliant women who make a difference. And then Voices of the 21st Century, resilient women who rise and make a difference.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
These books are compiled of 50 great women who had 50 great stories. And this one has my chapter in here about my suicide attempt. And you know, when I decided to name my chapter, I chose the following name. Let's see here. I want to show it to you instead of. So this is what I called my chapter.
What I want to do is even better. I want you to read a little bit of it. I want to hear it in your voice.
Ah, thank you. It's called Hearing a Close Call. The silence in the room was deadly. As I became aware of that eerie stillness, I thought, but why am I awake? I thought I would sleep and never wake up again. My body felt like jello, firm yet wobbly. Oh my God, I thought, beginning to panic, what have I done? Out of nowhere, I heard a whisper, Janine, get up. But I can't even move, I protested. Opening my eyes, I saw dimly that the room was tilted to one side, with everything having shifted to the left, including the door to my apartment. No longer a whisper, the voice demanded, Janine, get up right now and get to the door. You can do it. Go. But how, I thought, I feel so totally warped. How can I possibly get to the door? There is no way I could walk. I'm gonna leave it right there. So.
Well, you know what? You're paralyzed. I get it. You're totally paralyzed in the moment. You're frozen. And if you got up, you were still weak and wobbly. Where's there to go? So right. I get that. But there's hope, brains, because you know what? She was still able to get up.
Huh. Yes, I was.
You know, she was able to get up and look at her now. I have a friend of mine that attempted suicide three times.
Whoa.
I said, there's a calling on you.
Yes.
And then you see these young kids that are in cutting, that do this cutting. I don't know where that ever even came from. Girl, you let me get a splinter in my finger and I'm about to fall all out. So, you know, that. But also other types of self-destructive behavior, body dysmorphia, overeating, undereating, drugs, alcohol, you know, not being able to come out and live your life as who you are. You know, again, like you say, the LGBTQ community are struggling now with diversity, equity, and inclusion, and transgender, and non-binary. It's a whole lot going on. Then you got to dodge the COVID bullet.
Huh. Yes.
So there's a multitude of things that are going on.
Yes.
So tell me some success stories. I want to hear something good.
Well,
some of the success stories are how you've been able to talk that person off the ledge.
I am a facilitator of a group through Prevent Suicide Wisconsin. It's called Alternatives to Suicide. And what that is, when you think about it, alternatives to suicide, it's to me, it's a play on words, because what that means is now a lot of people in the medical profession do not agree with this group, but what it is, it's a safe space for people to come if they're having suicidal ideation, where they can come and talk in a group and not worried about us calling the police on them for a wellness check. We don't have to worry about someone, you know, if they're telling us I'm going to kill myself, that they're not worried about us picking up the phone and calling the police. That's the part people go like, you're not going to call them or call the police or do anything when they tell you that? No, because it's a safe place where they can come and they trust you. Because a lot of people won't tell you if they want to kill themselves. When you go to the doctor and when they ask you all those questions, do you feel safe? You think I'm going to tell them I don't feel safe? Yeah. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Do you think I'm really going to do that? So, and I know I'm going to answer your question. I'm getting there.
No.
I'm with you. But if you've ever been in a psych ward, or they treat you just like you're getting booked for committing a crime. They take your keys from you. They take your shoestrings from you. They take your cell phone from you. They put you in a padded room. When you get booked by the police, they take your cell phone from you, your keys from you, your wallet, and they put you in a cell. It's not going to be padded. So who wants to feel that way when they're already feeling bad? Statistics have proven that once you leave the psych ward, a lot of people kill themselves just because of the experience they've gone through. So these are the people that I deal with. So what do you do? We're taught validate, 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 validate. You never offer advice. You never offer an opinion. You listen to them and you validate by letting them know, you know what? I remember a time when I felt like that. I remember when I attempted my suicide, how I felt at that very moment. And, you know, you tell them, and then you say, but you know what? There's so many great things that I did. You never tell them what they could be doing. You just validate. Your whole job is to validate, validate, validate. Talk them off that ledge. 15 minutes. It takes 15 minutes for you to talk someone down off of something. Mm-hmm. Talk them. So I say, I'm talking them off the ledge. So I just validate, validate, validate. Show that you understand. And a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I feel so much better now.
Right. And substantiate, you know.
Yeah.
Quantify things. Okay, so what about the smile on your child's face? You know, their giggle, their laugh. You know, what about the barbecues with the family? You mean to tell me all the barbecues was bad? You know?
Some people are hurting silently.
They are hurting silently. And some people are victims of low self-esteem because of that outside noise, that chatter. You know, yes. That other conversation of what other people think. So when you say validate, I don't know, a person, like I said, with an ego like me, I don't wait. Well, you know, that's why I got an ego coach. It's because I don't wait for outside influences. I check in with this board of directors on the regular. I do a brain dump, you know, when I'm stressed. Like when I woke up this morning, girl, I was mean as a junkyard dog. I was so glad my husband wasn't here to get the brunt of it. And I had to, you know, say, what am I going to do to make myself feel better? How am I going to take control of this situation? First thing I did was grab my journal and wrote down all of the things I was feeling at that time. Yes. Dumped in there, got me a nice, I didn't even take a shower. I took a bubble bath. How about that? Make myself feel good. Okay. I lotioned myself down, girl, rubbed myself so good you would have thought it was a massage. And then I went in there and got me a nice cup of tea and, you know, just took that deep breath, just separated myself from the situation. But at first I acknowledged the situation, and acknowledgement is the key.
Yes.
Realizing that you are in a vulnerable state, realizing that you're hurting, realizing that you're in pain. But then on the flip side of it, understand that if you did not know pain, you would not know pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so how are you going to walk the walk and talk the talk? First, you're going to start out by buying one of Janine's books. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you. If you got any current offerings or programs, hotline, suicide prevention number, what would you like to offer up?
I would like for people to go to my website, illuminateyourdreams.com, and go to the Motivate tab and sign up for a free power call. And I will send you one of my books free.
Wow.
As well as my debut CD free. Two free. You call and you talk to me and we talk. Let's see where your head is. And I will give you a free gift.
See? Still people. Brains, this is what I want you to understand. Gratitude is latitude. And it helps you change your attitude.
Ooh.
So you have to be grateful for every little thing. You have to be accountable. Nobody else is accountable for you. You have to be accountable for that. And you got to count it all joy. Even in the face of the adversary. You know, I'm quick to call the devil a liar to his face. Like this morning. I was like, you know what? You are not going to ride in the car with me today. That's what you're not going to do. Okay?
I love that.
I'm going to get rid of you before that. I know it takes strength. But if you just give yourself that extra 5-10 minutes to think about it, that extra 5 or 10 minutes to look in the mirror and see the reflection of who you are. I remember Al Sharpton telling me one time, he said, baby, that mirror just ain't for a reflection. It's a place for you to also make a correction.
Ooh.
So use it. Use it to your benefit. Contact Janine. Have a conversation with her. Maybe you're not at the point of thinking of suicide, but maybe you have some negative self-thought. Maybe you got some self-doubt. Maybe you need some validation. Maybe you need a good friend. Maybe you need a good support group. Maybe you need some direction. Maybe you need to get out of that religious doctrine for a minute and go directly to the source. Okay? You need to do that heart-centered work, brains. Because I'm longing to save you. That's why me and Janine are doing what we do. We're not doing it just because we're cute. Because we're cute. But we're doing it for love. Yeah. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. So I adore you. I absolutely do. Thank you so much for reading us the excerpt of your book. Brains, this is the address. This is the location. This is the spot right here. You see that? This is where I need you to be often and regularly. Tell a friend. Share this information. It's just a real easy conversation. Don't overthink it. That's the first thing. Don't overthink it. Just relax with it. Accept it. Acknowledge it. Love it, because we love you. Thank you so much, Janine. You are a queen.
Thank you so much. And you are a double queen.
That's what he said. I love you. I'll talk to you soon, sister.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.